Thank you, Tim, for leading us. We're now going to read from the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, and it's on page 1083, and it's also up on screen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage, this reading, these words of the Lord Jesus. And we pray now that you will open both our minds and our hearts. Help me to preach, O Lord, by your Spirit. Help each one of us to listen, to apply, and to consider carefully the meaning of these words as they apply to us. Lord, help us all now as we continue to worship you. Amen. Well, it's good to see you all. It's good to be here. It's a special privilege on a Harvest Sunday. Harvest evening, we're celebrating harvest. We're thankful again for the seasons and for God's goodness to us. And tonight, my theme is Remaining in Christ. I've given it the title, The Greatest Harvest of All. The Greatest Harvest of All. As we ponder and think about the natural harvest, what we see around us, and the produce of the earth, I want us to think tonight about another harvest, the harvest of our souls, a harvest that God looks for in us. The title then is The Greatest Harvest of All. But the theme is remaining in Christ. And that's where I will be moving towards underlining that as we look at this passage. And the Lord Jesus had a wonderful visual aid, because we read that at the end of chapter 14, he and the disciples, minus Judas, are leaving the upper room. And so whether they are going through a vineyard, and I understand that a vine was also shown or inscribed on the temple, the Jews would have thought about the vine as a symbol of Israel. And in fact, we find in the Old Testament reference to that in words like these in Hosea. Israel was a spreading vine. he brought forth fruit for himself. Or in Psalm 80, you brought a vine out of Egypt, you drove out the nations and planted it. And we have the picture of God tending to and planting and tending and looking after and working on a vine in a vineyard. And these words of the Lord Jesus are the last statement of the I am statements in the Gospel of John. They'll be familiar to you, I'm sure. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this final one, I am the true vine. Or put it another way, I am the real vine. I am the genuine vine. And as I say, Israel had many vineyards, and all around there would be this visual aid, this picture of a vine which the Lord Jesus uses. And he was prone to use things around him to demonstrate, to illustrate, things that could be seen and understood. In fact, when talking to Nicodemus, that clever man, that Pharisee in John chapter 3, who questions the new birth, Jesus said this to him, I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not understand. You do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? And that's what we're doing tonight. We're adopting the manner, the teaching of the Lord Jesus, who spoke of earthly things to illustrate a heavenly truth. And we tonight, we have fruit around us here, and we can hopefully remember, and we ask ourselves, well, what about the fruit in my life? The whole point of a vineyard, a vine, a gardener, a dresser, the branches, is to produce fruit. And Jesus explains, he is the vine, the disciples are the branches, and God the Father is the gardener. Let's start with looking at this, the first thing that he says, I am the true vine. In other words, I am the real vine. I am the genuine vine. Other vines have failed. The vine in Psalm 80, Israel, that did not give God the glory, that vine. Hosea, Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. And we read in Revelation 14 that there is such a thing as the vine of the earth that will be destroyed in God's wrath. But Jesus says, look to me, because this is the vine you should look at, you should believe in, you should depend on. And what is he saying about himself? Well, that life and power are in the Lord Jesus himself. John chapter 1 has these words, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. So in all this world, Jesus is life. If you have Jesus, you can have life. If you believe in Jesus, you can have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, you can have life more abundantly. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And he says, I am the vine, and from the vine comes life to the branches. In eternity, Jesus is the one. He is the real deal. Colossians 1, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. He had the authority. He was there in creation. In him was life. He gave life. He gives life. And tonight, if we want life, if we want to live forever, we need the Lord Jesus. We need the true vine. And then he goes on to say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Speaking now of the role of God the Father. He speaks of my Father is the gardener. And what is the gardener doing, or the vine dresser, in some translations? Well, the gardener, the vine dresser, what does he want? Well, he wants fruit. He is only interested in fruit. That's why the vine is there. He's interested only in the fruit. And look at verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Fruit, fruit, fruit. Without fruit, it's useless. The branch is useless. When there's no fruit, what does the gardener do? Well, he acts. He cuts off the branch. It's useless. It doesn't belong. It serves no useful purpose. There's no life there. There's no connection with the vine. And in the same way, that might be true of a person having no connection with Jesus. And I ask myself the question, is this true of me or you? That we have the appearance of belonging, but eventually our true colors show. Are we bearing fruit? If we're not bearing fruit, then we serve no useful purpose. And I have to think of so many people who have come through this church and the clubs and the events, but there is little or no fruit, little or no life, no response, no growth in grace. And eventually they're cut off. What is happening? Well, God is at work, looking at our desires, our motives, our attitudes, our words, and our deeds. But then there is a branch that bears fruit. And what does the gardener do with the branch that does bear fruit? Well, with a loving hand, he prunes. He trims, he cleans, he reduces, he cuts down, he gets rid of distractions. Shoots that perhaps disturb the flow of the sap from the vine itself to the branches. Something has to be done to produce more fruit. And what does he do? The gardener prunes. And the sinful, proud nature that we have is tackled and addressed. And it may be that we have an illness or a trial or a rebuke or a reproof. It may be that we fail in something and we are humbled. It may be that we are challenged and we find that I wasn't the Christian I thought I was. I did not react patiently as I should have. I did not love that person as I ought. And something happens to challenge us and to change us. We are pruned by circumstances, by the gardener. And thirdly, we read that we are the branches, as I've already hinted. The disciples, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. You are the branches, speaking to the disciples, walking with him, or perhaps at the table if they're looking, if there's a discussion around the table and he's teaching there, As I say, I like to think of him leaving the upper room, as it seems to be suggested in chapter 14. But he's speaking to them about their relationship with him. You are the branches, and the branches belong to Jesus. The branch is linked to and part of the vine. And perhaps we would say tonight, amazing. It was not like that at one time. But to think that I can now belong to Jesus, that you can be a branch of his vine, you can belong to him, you can have a relationship with him. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So there's no fruit, there's fruit that's produced, but the aim is to produce much fruit. The branch must remain in the vine. You cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me, he says. In other words, having been saved, stay saved. This is what Hendrickson, the commentator, says. God does not keep a man on the way of salvation without exertion, diligence, watchfulness. The strength to persevere is given by God. What does Matthew Henry say? God is about his church, which therefore must prosper. We must be fruitful. From a vine, we look for grapes, and from a Christian, we look for a Christian temper, disposition, and life. Is your temper and mine, is our life giving glory to God and showing much fruit? It speaks of communion with God. One translation was abiding in the vine. Remaining is the word used in this translation. Do you walk with Jesus? Do you tell him of your devotion? If we turn to Philippians 3, verse 10, this is how the Apostle Paul saw it. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. He was a Christian. He had believed. He'd been converted. He'd been saved. But here is this desire to abide in Christ, to remain in Christ, to walk with Christ, to know Christ. No branch then can bear fruit by itself. We don't bear fruit, not because we don't belong to a church, but because we're not remaining in Christ. There's no relationship or connection. If we remain in Christ, we'll bear much fruit. How is that the case? What do we see here? Well, these words in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And it reminds us of what he says earlier to Peter, who, when Jesus said he was going to wash Peter's feet, Peter responds, reacts violently, not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. Judas, at this point, was about to leave. And here's the same expression, you are already clean. Tonight, you may already be a Christian. You may have known of that washing from sin. And we're encouraged to remain in the Lord Jesus. And we remain by the word. You are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. How does the word make us clean? Can I quote again from the book of Acts? So those who received his word were baptized. This is on the day of Pentecost. The people received the word and something amazing happened. They believed, they trusted in the Savior. And so they were washed inwardly. They were clean. And they were baptized. So inwardly they were clean, and the baptism showed that they had been cleansed of sin and forgiven and were trusting in the Lord Jesus. They'd received the word. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So the challenge to you and me is this: do I receive the word humbly, obediently? Do I listen carefully? Do I take it as the word of God? Do I hear the words of Jesus speaking to me? You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. The passage goes on to say, if you do not remain in me, this is now the consequence. You are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. We've seen branches, haven't we, like that, and there'll be bonfires all over the place now in November. Branches, wood being used, thrown into the fire and burned. Good for nothing but to be burned, thrown away. Dr. Adrian Rogers quotes like this. He says, a Christian lapses into sin and loathes it. The unsaved will leap into sin and love it. Let me read that again. A Christian lapses into sin and loathes it. The unsaved will leap into sin and love it. In other words, the Christian isn't perfect. The Christian isn't sinless, but he's been washed, he's been cleansed, he's clean because of the word, and if he lapses into sin, he loathes it because of the new disposition and attitude that he has. But the unsaved will leap into sin and love it. The consequences of sin, the consequences of not remaining in Jesus. But what about remaining? What are the consequences and blessings of remaining? The blessings of remaining, verse 7, answered prayer. Were you astonished when I read those words? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Do we believe that? And we might say, well, there's so many prayers that I ask and they're not answered. And he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But you see, the Lord Jesus is portraying a picture of the branches becoming so intimately involved with the vine, being remaining in the vine, abiding in the vine, having the same life as the vine, and therefore having the same purpose and desire as the vine, wanting what Jesus wants, wanting what the Bible teaches, wanting the right things, wanting good things, wanting the will of God to be done. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And therefore we understand that often our prayers are selfish and self-centered and they stray off the mark and we are not close to the Lord Jesus and to the mind of God. What other blessings can we see here? Well, here are just a few. It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So the Christian, the branch that remains in the vine, in the Lord Jesus, is glorifying God. We can look at Christians who have grown and matured and they're godly people, and we say, that person, really, God is glorified by the life of that person. Amazing to think that God is glorified by the lives of Christians. It's hard to believe, isn't it, as we look at our own lives. If you remain in me, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We don't just want, though, to be to be right with God. We want to be with God. And so we come to these words: as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Remaining, loving. Is your heart tender tonight? Is mine tender towards God? Am I loving God, or simply seeking to obey God? Do I love the Lord Jesus for what he has done for me at Calvary and at the empty tomb, at his resurrection, what he's doing for me daily at the great throne? Do I love him for that? As the Father's loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. One of the problems of the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation was that they had left their first love. When they were saved, they were on fire. They loved the Lord Jesus. They wanted to speak of him and preach his word. And then there came a time when they cooled off. Have you cooled off? Have I cooled off? And then finally we read these words: I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, many people who are not Christians, have not yet become Christians, think that they will lose all joy, all happiness if they become believers. They can't imagine a Christian life full of joy. But that's what the Lord Jesus offers. So he offers love, he offers answered prayer, he offers his company, his presence, his love, and his joy, so that my joy may be in you. Not the joy of the world, but the joy of the Lord Jesus, and that your joy may be complete. Are you and I bearing fruit? Are we branches that are abiding or remaining in the vine? Let's remind ourselves of fruit according to the Apostle Paul. In Galatians 5, verse 22, he describes the fruit of the Spirit, the nine marks: love. We've touched on love, haven't we? Joy. Again, an echo of the words of the Lord Jesus. Peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is that true of us tonight, of Christians? And if you know you're not a Christian, then ask the Lord to come into your life and to forgive you your sin, so that you can be grafted onto that vine, so that you too can be a branch, and that you can know the life of Jesus in your soul and heart.